Okay.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Felicia. I'm a recovering alcoholic and codependent. And I am grateful to be here with you this morning. I appreciate the request by Janet Marie, and just want to just thank God, first of all, for just the opportunity. I do refer to God as my higher power, and with no reservation. I think about just the blessing of the 12 steps in my life. First of all, because it put me back in relationship with the God of my understanding. And I'll get to that in my share. But, you know, one of the most important things of the 12 steps has been the teaching of not just relationship, but reliance on God. And so I think that's going to be my topic today, just so you know, relationship and reliance. And the both are important, but there is a difference, right? I knew God before the 12 steps and BBA, but I learned reliance once I got here. So I'll tell you a little bit about me. I am the oldest child. I am a child of a preacher called Preacher's Kid. I grew up pretty middle class. And all of that is relative to who I am and how I got here, because I was pretty surprised when I got here, because I didn't grow up with a whole lot of problems. I didn't grow, and that was my perception of how a person gets here, just something really catastrophic. But that was not the case in terms of upbringing. I was an overachiever. I was this, that, and the other. And none of that matters. That's not how you become an alcoholic, unbeknownst to me at that time. You know, I grew up in church, not around a lot of alcohol whatsoever. And again, none of that's relevant, but I didn't know that. But it did have to do with a lot of things that had to do with not fitting in. Wanting to be validated and achieved, because I was very separate from other people my age and in my community, very different, having a lot of rules, regulations in the way I grew up, and feeling different. And who wants to feel different? And I realize now that that had to do with some of my isms and whatnot. Over the years, I worked really, really hard to just be, quote, the best or do really well and all of that in these different areas of my life, what have you. And that, too, fed into what later became my crash, my bottom, because after years and years of doing that in many different ways, school, business, as a mother, etc., when after 2008 and the U.S. economic crash, and began to find that life started really lifing, and things started crashing down. Ultimately, a lot of that showed me later that my reliance on God had weakened. I was still professing that, and I was still thinking I was, but clearly I had become more reliant on the things as my source of identity, my source of who I was and how I'd make it in life and what have you. Because when the economic crash started, the home started going away, the extra real estate investment started crashing and going away, the marriage started failing. I had a child with a illness, and life turned upside down. All of a sudden, I just began to crash, crash, crash. And I was praying, but it was more like the Santa Claus prayers, pleading, God, please make it the way I feel like it needs to be. Not necessarily praying in that faith prayer of, I know it's going to be all right, no matter what. And all of a sudden, that's when the drink became more appealing as a way of coping, a way of relieving stress. My anxiety at that time in life began to be so high that now that the drink was around me, it had always been around me because I married someone who drank, and it was not appealing until that time. And it was like, man, he seems to be so chill with everything. Maybe that, you know, help me. That person is not my reason for drinking. There is no reason. My reason was because I felt the need to find some way to escape, some way to relieve stress and anxiety. And here we go. But I didn't know that I was that one who would take the drink and the drink would take me. I was did not know anything about alcoholism and that it has that effect on some people. And I am that one of those people that over time that it is a progressive illness. I did not know things that the Big Book tells us that we are seeking power, power over our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, power to change things, power to shift ourselves when we're feeling uncomfortable, looking for a way outside of ourselves. That's what I was doing. I just didn't realize that. And sure enough, alcohol had that power, or if it made me feel like it did, right? It was an illusion. It was a delusion. It was short-sighted. It was short-lasting, but it worked for the moment. And at that time, that was enough for me. And but then I needed more, and I needed more. And I didn't realize what was happening, but that more-ism was happening. And over time, over a short period of time, just like it says in the Big Book on page 35, I'm that woman that it can take great effects on in a short period of time. And within a couple of years, I was in the grips of it. It happened very quickly without me really even realizing it. I had said, oh, I'm starting to, you know, really kind of drink a lot more than I ever did in my whole entire life, as a matter of fact, accumulatively, as a matter of fact. However, I did not realize that I couldn't stop until the day that I really wanted to stop. And on that day, which was actually for a church fast, I'd always been religious, and I said, oh, I'm going to stop this when I get the job back, or when the divorce is over, and then those things started happening and I couldn't. And then so I said, I'll do it in January when we always do the corporate fast because, you know, can't drink on a fast, good grief. Now they do things like dry January. They weren't doing things like that then, but my church was doing it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And then when I couldn't, that was a shocker, because I took something like that very seriously, like some people do for Lent or something like that. So this for me, and that got my attention. I said, wow, well, I must not have really gotten my mind right. I must not have mentally prepared. So guess what my great idea was? I'll do it next January. So that gave myself permission, like a good alcoholic, to drink all year long again, until next January. Only an alcoholic would think like that, right? And so here I go. And but luckily that was my last year, because during that last year, in every effort to prove myself wrong that I really wasn't an alcoholic, I saw it. I saw that I couldn't stop long enough to just even take my lab work for medical reasons, to not drink the 12 hours or whatever it is to do labs in the morning. But luckily, what I did come to know is that through panic attacks and some other things that began to happen, those physical manifestations, that it was the real thing. So when I came in here by way of a panic attack and by way of a person suggesting to me, Felicia, maybe it's that. Maybe you should try these meetings. Once I did come and I heard this beautiful message of God could and would if he were sought, it manifested to me. Once I heard these 12 steps of if I were to just admit that I was powerless, it made sense to me, because that's what I felt. This powerlessness. I felt that hopelessness. I have been experiencing that sense of, I have tried and this is beyond me. I have tried to produce results and it is beyond me. I have had this sense of trying to reach and try to change things, and I can't. Like, so I was completely convinced there is something happening above and beyond me. And I believed it was of a spiritual nature. I believed it was beyond something in this physical realm that I could change. I couldn't change. I couldn't self-help myself out of it. I couldn't self-talk myself out of it. I believe what you said when I got here. And because of that, I felt like these people know what they're talking about. These people know something I don't know. They have the secret. And I really need to listen. I mean, you got smiles on your faces. You've gotten your homes back. You've gotten your families back. You got your joy back. And I really need what you got, or I'm going to die. And it was with that. First, I want to tell you that my initial date for sobriety was 9 years ago, next month, a few weeks from now, March 12th. But currently, some 6 years into that, I started feeling like I needed to change my date. And I worked with Tyla to do this, because when I first came in, I did not know things like even overly taking Benadryl or even some other things that I was doing non-alcoholic still were changing my mood, my mind, my just changing my state of being. And I felt some guilt about that. So currently I have changed my date to June 21st. And that is the date that I did nothing mood or mind altering. With those first 12 weeks, I had no idea. I was just so happy to put down the drink. Put down the drink, and I was so naive to anything else or what have you. But as of June 21st is the date I claim, nothing mood or mind altering. Now, I'm going to tell you, I still struggle a little bit, because I know that as of March the 12th, the power, I know what happened on that date. I know the light came back in my life. I know what happened, but for all just integrity, full-fledged integrity. I didn't want to live with any, you know, cloud of anything. June 21st is my date that I now recognize for nothing mood or mind altering. I don't take Benadryl, because I was so still seeking something to take the edge off, because I had not yet learned to just sit, to just turn it over. And honestly, as far gone as I was, I really probably needed to be doing a medical detox, and I wasn't, and I didn't. And that's okay. God was with me through the process. But I now have learned, and I've done BBA every which way, every which way. I've done it. Thank you, Andy. I've done it for alcoholism many times. I've done it just because I wanted to keep learning. Every time it has taken me deeper and deeper. I have done it for codependent. I've done it for chaos creators, because it's not just my drinking. It is my thinking. It is my thinking that got me here. The inability to settle my mind, my racing mind, which is why I always wanted something to just make me sleep and I can at least stop the mind. But now I know how to practice 11-step at any time of the day, to pray, to meditate, to take walks, to breathe, to get into my work, to work with others, to call somebody else, to show up on this meeting, to do those things that we are taught. I've been a group leader through the workshops. So many things that have taught me to live. Because when I tell you, you remember what I said, I drank because it helped me to just cope. It helped me to sleep. It helped me to shut it down. And today I don't have to do those things no matter what. And there are many no matter whats. Many. Life is still life-in. But I don't have to do that today. And I get to help others to do the same and to walk through so many things today. But life is good. And every day I see that sun, I remember how the light came back into my life when it was very, very dark. And for that, I am so eternally grateful. And I thank you all for the opportunity to share my story of redemption and restoration. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Felicia. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm not quite sure what I should call this topic, but we will now open the meeting for sharing and for questions to anyone from anyone. I think I wrote down, Felicia, that we have the relationship to God and reliance on God. Would anyone put that into step two or? Okay, well, one of the first three steps, I'd say. So if you've not done the work related to this topic, as done through the Big Book Awakening, we ask that you limit your sharing to questions only. This is a crossfire meeting. You can ask anyone a question or comment on anyone's share. If you're a newcomer to this meeting and to the Big Book Awakening, we will reserve some time at the end of the meeting for you to introduce yourself and share if you wish so that we can get to know you a little. Okay, Anna, you've raised your hand. Would you like to start the sharing? Oh, I have to turn off the recording. Excuse me.